Dave's Big Dick Dictionary. There it is. Here's our Merriam-Webster's Dictionary, 75,000-plus definitions. And early in the show, in fact, even off before we even went on the air, my darling and adorable wife, Joyce, did the honor of choosing the word. And this is how this works. She will randomly flip through the book, flip through the pages, and then put her finger down on some page, on some word, and then whatever that word is, I have to talk about for 5 or 10 minutes, extemporaneously. If I have an anecdote, a memory, a story to share, that's for the best. Sometimes I'll just ramble. So we'll see what we're going to do. What is the word of the day? Extry, tell all about it. It's Dave's Big Dictionary. Didn't really need the theme music. I just told you it was Dave's Big Dictionary, but that was the theme music for Dave's Big Dictionary, a band actually that was in the studio, not in the studio with us, but with us a few months ago, Wussy. That's where that music comes from. But anyway, Dave's Big Dictionary. Now, in the past, as I mentioned, the words that my wife and I have come up with at random in this happy little book have included things like spleen, bottom, defile, fob off, things that I could talk about. Today, being the kind of day it was and the technical difficulties that we were having, my wife flips, pokes, and the word her finger finds, erythrocyte. Erythrocyte, E-R-Y-T-H-R-O-C-Y-T-E, which is, for those of you who remember your basic biology, it's a red blood cell. That's what it is. It's the opposite of a leukocyte from leukemia, L-E-U-K, leuk, white blood cells. So you need that balance between the erythrocytes and the leukocytes. And that's how Doc is was born. But how am I going to talk about this? Well, I've been giving it some thought, and I don't have a full story to tell. But I've got tangled reminiscences involving, of all things, red blood cells or erythrocytes. One of them, first thing that came into my mind was a medicine that I was on when I was a kid or maybe a teenager, because I admit I did a little searching. I did some Googling on my phone just to check erythromycin. Anybody remember that? Anybody even heard of erythromycin, which I guess is made either from erythrocytes or to boost your erythrocytes, and it was really for people, I guess, who were allergic to penicillin. Hello! So, I was told when I was a kid, well, among the many, many things I was allergic to when I was a tyke was penicillin. So when I got sick with, I guess I had strep throat, because that's the one thing that erythromycin, they really tend to use it on, and they've also used it on venereal and social diseases. But I did not have those. But I did, I guess, have strep, and instead of penicillin, the doctor gave me erythromycin, which worked. And so that's, wow, what an exciting memory Dave has of using a red blood cell booster. What was interesting about looking the word up, though, is it has an unfortunate connection even still, because it's an antibiotic, and quite a strong one. And my family's had some issues in very recent times with antibiotics. I've told this story on the air that my dad was going to the dentist about 2.5 years ago. He was going to get some work done, heavy-duty cleaning, maybe a tooth pull. And so what they do, or what the dentists used to do, is tell people, they put them on a course of antibiotics a week or two before the procedure, because there's going to be blood involved and machines and stuff. So they want to make sure that you've got antibiotics in your body that are fighting the good fight against any germs or parasites, as opposed to erythrocytes, that are trying to get into you and do you damage. So what happens is you take this course of antibiotics. Well, what happens with antibiotics sometimes, and one of the negative side effects, apparently, of erythromycin, is that, of course, if it's killing the bad stuff in your body and the bad flora and fauna or whatever in your intestines, often it's also killing the good stuff too. It doesn't really differentiate. It's just out there chopping the lawn down. It's mowing and weeding, and it's pulling tulips and roses along with the dandelions and the weeds. So that's what happened. To my, just from a goddamn trip to the dentist, my father wound up with something called C. diff, colostrum differensis doogly poo, whatever the hell it's called. They call it C. diff. It's a cute name for an unbelievably horrible disease that never really goes away. It's always, once you get it, it's going to be dormant in you. And it put him in the hospital a couple of times, and it essentially ruined his life in a lot of ways. It led to, at one point when they didn't bring him to the hospital and should have, enough of his intestine was eaten away that they had to cut part of it out and put him on a bag. So, yeah. Yeah, and it was just rather odd to come across C. diff in connection with this word, erythromycin, this drug, this antibiotic that I had all those years back. And it's funny, and I also, just 2 weeks ago, I watched an episode of a show I like very, very much. You can see it on Netflix. It's called Adam Ruins Everything. And it's this guy, I think he was originally from Mythbusters, where he just goes on and whatever the topic is, it can be college, it can be dating, it can be having babies, it can be your taxes, it can be pop music concerts, he'll find the stuff that we've all been lied to about. All the stuff that we take for granted as true that is just a whole load of horse shit. And he's exposing everything and he's muckraking everything and making us feel horrible about whatever it is that we're about to do or go through in our lives, except in the last 2 minutes, he'll take 30 seconds out for a happy, positive takeaway. But the show is actually very, very fun. It's enjoyable. It's amusing. He's very personable. And they do it in a very, you know, you're learning, but in a pop culture kind of way. So he did, the last one that I watched was about going to the hospital. And about, well, hey, as long as I'm at the hospital, I'm going to get this checked out, I'm going to get this done, I'm going to get this course of dress. And he's saying, you know, so much of the time and the stuff we go to the hospital for would be so much better off just staying at home, popping a Tylenol. Don't buy, you know, if you're a woman and you're in your 30s, unless breast cancer runs very deeply in your family, stop with a mammogram. Don't go until you're 50. There's no need. You know, you're just throwing money away, and there's other reasons that you shouldn't do it. And it's affecting you physically because you get worried. You get panicky, and you wonder while you're waiting for the test results. And that takes a negative effect on your psyche and on your health. That sort of thing. And this idea that we have just so overloaded ourselves and the animals we eat with antibiotics that we're just making more of these ultra super maxi resistant antibiotics, germs that will just conquer the antibiotics we're taking. The super roach, you know, that can live even after ingesting Raid and just gets bigger and better than Raid. That's what we've done to ourselves pretty much already. And fighting, killing our natural way of fighting certain things just by popping these pills. And of course, if you don't finish a course of antibiotics, you start, you feel better, and you don't go through all 7 or 14 days, then you're really opening yourself up to something bad. But anyway, that's one aspect of erythrocytes. I guess the other is, again, more of a family memory in terms of red blood cells. I think, and maybe it's true, I didn't look this part up, but my mom always had it in her head, the idea of a really, truly balanced diet. And for her, and this is way cool, a balanced diet is a bit of everything. It's everything in moderation, which I absolutely 100% believe in. Now, this is a woman who keeps kosher, so she actually doesn't eat everything. She eats about 40% of everything. But within the kosher realm, dinner is meat or fowl, a veg, and a snack, and a beverage. Okay, so you're getting all the good food groups. You're getting, you know, the meat, what that has in it, protein, etc. You got your your canned spinach or your canned corn or other legumes, right? So you're getting the good stuff of that. She's not a negligent mother. I'm getting those veggies in there. And maybe occasionally a fruit after dinner for dessert. But also, hey, you know, it's dinner or even lunch of a tuna sandwich, you need potato chip. I'm sorry, potato. I'm going to put him away so he doesn't hear this. But, and the Grand Knish should not be hearing this either. But, yeah, potato chips on the side. They're good. Pretzels later on. It's okay. Don't finish an entire bag. But if you're hungry, you want a snack, have a little. And you know what? My dad's 81. He's not in the best of shape. Mom is still in her late 70s. But they can die at 50. My dad actually had weight issues years ago that aren't really an issue anymore. And then, you know, you get bigger. But moderation. Don't go crazy. Don't be Yul Gibbons eating bark off of trees. And I think he died at 71 or something like that. And for her, part of a meal during the week was meat is good. It's all right to have a steak once or twice a week, if not more. There's stuff in there. She will never be a vegetarian. She never want to be a vegetarian. Aside from the fact that meat tastes good, she always felt, and she passed this feeling on to me, being my mom, that God wouldn't have put kosher cows on the earth if there wasn't something in them that was good and healthy for humans to ingest. And she always felt that it would give us energy, and in that way, just boosting that red blood cell count, that erythrocyte count. See how I tied that all in there? That erythrocyte count. If you don't have, and this, maybe it was totally psychological on her part, but she would say, if I don't have a steak for a few days, I feel run down, I get pale, I feel blah, I'm dragging myself around. She has herself a steak. Maybe it's the proteins. I don't know what is in there, but something in good red meat, right? Will boost and make you feel, aha, so that the white blood cells don't overpower the red ones and you get leukemia, which we actually, we knew someone who died of that, a pretty young woman who was the sister, I believe, maybe cousin, but maybe sister, of my dad's oldest and closest friend. And she was in her 20s, came down with it, battled it as best she could, and she was gone before she was 30. And I mean, I'm just going back a couple of decades. So that always stayed with me, too, of being a little bit afraid, of being a little bit worried and wanting to make sure, hey, I want to boost my reds. The whites are hugely important. I mean, you get the infection that it's the white blood cells that swell up and create that delicious pus that you get on your finger. But there's that thing in me, handed down from my mom, handed down from knowing that story of our friend who died of leukemia, of whatever you do, keep the blood cells in there. Eat the stuff that's going to get those erythrocytes going. So that's what I try and do. I eat in moderation. I eat snacks because I think that there's got to be red blood cells in ice cream and in cookies, cake. Don't tell me if there aren't. Let me believe it. Let me believe that when I go to the cabinet and I'm feeling peckish and I want chocolate-covered raisins or, hazelnut praline, or if I go into the freezer and I'm looking for an ice cream sandwich or maybe gelato or something, there's red blood cells in there. They're going to make me feel good and boost me. They'll put a pound more on my waistline, but overall, it's good for me, right? Right? You agree. Anyway, that's Dave's Big Dictionary for this Saturday, March 31st, 2018, here in the neighborhood in Greeley, Colorado.